Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim, and our guest today is Sergey. So Sergey, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Hi, everybody. I'm Sergey Pavlozov. I'm a CTO and co-founder of a retail media company called Pedio. A couple of decades of experience in the industry, started in consulting, and then spent 4 years at Amazon, worked in some really cool data engineering projects there, then moved on to the startup world, the company called Point Inside. They did indoor mapping solutions, so you can go to like Lowe's and find, you know, look for a particular, you know, hammer and see where it is on the floor. And then after that, moved on to Zulily. For those of you who have kids, may have heard of this online retailer that specializes in goods, baby goods. And then moved on to where I am right now, to Pedio. So I started the company, and that's what I've been kind of focused on for the last year and a half.
So how did you get the idea to start this business?
So a coworker of mine, and he's also my co-founder, Raghu, and I went for a coffee one day when we were at Zulily. And it turned out that both of us wanted to try it out and see if we can do something on our own. And we did it for a little bit, you know, part-time, but then, you know, raised a little bit of money and figured out that we need to give it a, you know, full attention, and that's how it happened.
Awesome. So can you just talk more about your business, like what exactly it's all about, and also how you separate yourself from your competition?
The retail media term could be best described as, or through an example, everybody popped on Amazon, saw those products with the sponsored label. So you're looking for, I don't know, a pair of jeans. And so some of the results will be organic, meaning, you know, the Amazon, nobody pays to show them to me. And other results are sponsored. So basically, you know, Levi's might say, we have marketing budget. We want to promote our product. So for Amazon, sponsored ads, sponsored products has been a massive win. They generated last year over $38 billion from retail media. And other big companies such as Walmart, Target, you know, et cetera, Instacart, Wayfair, I believe, they all have, you know, retail media solution. But so far, retail media has been primarily focused on or has been primarily adopted by very large retailers, you know, Amazon being the best example. And so we felt that we can take the technology and take it down market to mid market to specialty retail, you know, that don't have the scale of Amazon, but still have enough scale to make it, you know, a viable business, a viable source of incremental revenue for themselves. And the original idea behind sponsored products at Amazon, at least, was not to make money necessarily. The idea was to diversify results. Because essentially, if you think about an online retailer, without sponsored products, you have algorithms that control, you know, who gets or which brand, which product gets the top slots on any given page. And those algorithms tend to favor, you know, bestsellers. They tend to favor, they could take margin into account and basically, you know, promote those items where the retailer can make more money. However, there'll be a lot of products, especially for smaller brands, that are below the fold. And for them to get to the top slot is near impossible. You know, they have to fight against the algorithms, they have to fight against the big brands, et cetera. And so with sponsored products, the idea was to diversify the results and say, like, look, brands, you can, you know, sponsor your product listings. And as a result, you know, we'll get your product in front of the shopper. Otherwise, they would, you know, the chance of them seeing it would be, you know, a lot lower. And so that was the idea. And then Amazon actually saw that, you know, brands are willing to pay a lot of money for this type of promotion, and the rest is history, right? So we're taking the same technology, taking it down market and offering, you know, smaller retailers. I don't want to, you know, throw names, but, you know, like 50 million and up, you know, maybe to 2 billion is where kind of we see our sweet spot, because we believe those guys have, you know, enough traffic, and we can, then they have, you know, a sufficient number of brands and product density in each category where it can make a difference for them.
Amazing. So in terms of getting the word out about what you're doing, what does that look like for you? What has your marketing strategy been for brand awareness?
So this is a B2B sales cycle. And so we were able to get a hold of some retailers through literally cold calling. Well, it's cold emailing, cold LinkedIn reach with no introduction. But I would say that, and you know, at least for me, and you know, although I'm a CTO, you know, at the startup, you have to wear all the hats. So to me, like the success rate was around between like 10 and 15%, you know, getting an intro or getting a connection and actually getting to a meeting, which is pretty good, I think, in this space. But, you know, what worked actually better than that is introductions. So as they teach you in I don't know, in school, it's not, sometimes not what you know, it's who you know. And so I would not advocate not knowing the what. You still need to know the what, but having those connections has been super important. So the introductions, you know, opened up some doors for us that otherwise, I mean, it might be possible, but it would certainly take a lot longer, a lot more effort. So yeah, introductions are, just in our space, have been kind of the way to get those meetings, to get those leads. And so it's worked pretty well for us.
Awesome. So what does your pricing model look like?
So in this space, we do rev share. Essentially, we look at the retailer as our partner and we say, look, there's no service fees, there's no SaaS fees, there's nothing like that. We basically propose to you is that I want to make this a success for you. And if it's, it becomes a success for you, it becomes a success for us. And so we do rev share where there's a percentage of revenue that, you know, this technology generates, and we essentially we just take a commission on that. So for the retailer, the benefit is it's a completely kind of risk-free undertaking. There is no upfront cost. They can run a trial with us where it doesn't cost them anything. And only if it becomes successful and brands actually start, you know, paying for the service, then, you know, we get paid.
That makes sense. So if it's risk-free, like what are some of the objections that people are giving you? I mean, it seems like sort of like a no-brainer for them to use this.
It could be other priorities. It could be, you know, an objection that we hear often is, you know, I don't have room in my roadmap. I already have everything planned. And our response to that, so we like to use, to kind of think about retail media initiative in the context or in the format of a prioritization framework. So for instance, if you take price, reach, impact, confidence, and effort. And so if you take those four angles, you know, reach is high. This would affect every customer. Impact, if you take Amazon or Walmart or, you know, even like Nordstrom or Chewy, you know, retail media has worked really well for them. So impact is high. Confidence is high based on, you know, what other retailers have experienced. And your effort is actually, you know, extra small or small. When we ran a pilot with a retailer, it took less than 2 dev weeks, you know, developer weeks for them to integrate our solution. It's very straightforward. And so you might say, okay, I don't have room in my roadmap. However, once you put it, you look at it through the, you know, lens of prioritization framework and you go like, okay, well, it's, you know, high reach, high impact, high confidence, small effort. All of a sudden, you might ask yourself, is it really, maybe it's, you know, it deserves another look. And there are some other initiatives on my roadmap that, you know, would not score as high as this one. So yeah, this is kind of how I think about it. Another objection that we hear from some retailers is why would brands want to pay for it? And, you know, especially for those scenarios where the retailer already has the inventory. So you go to a brand and you buy inventory from them. And then, you know, the question is, why would the brand then pay you money? In order, you know, why would they be interested in that? This brand receives purchase orders from you if you buy their inventory. And if they start promoting products, the idea would be that they can sell more of their product. The retailer would go back to them and place another purchase order. So it is in their best interest to, you know, increase inventory turnover rate on the retailer, and they can achieve that through a promotion. So regardless of whether this is a pure marketplace where, you know, a brand just sells essentially on this marketplace, but the retailer, all it does is just, or it's not a retailer, it's just like, here's a brand that sells, I'll collect your money, I'll pass it to them, but, you know, they'll take care of shipping, et cetera. They're independent sellers effectively. Or if it's a, you know, true retailer where they buy inventory, either way, it's in the best interest of the brand to promote. And another thing, again, that kind of comes from, you know, the Amazon experience. So when you start promoting, Let's say that you have, 100 products as a brand, and you start promoting 4 or 10, the retailer always has an option to take those results and apply them to the rest of the products from the brand. So it actually creates lift to the rest of, 90, 96 products that you're not promoting. If the 4 that you're promoting are getting extra sales, getting more clicks, et cetera, it can reflect on the rest of your inventory. And so this becomes kind of a, if you do that, it creates a flywheel where you start promoting your products, it gives organic lift to the rest of your products, and your overall sales increase. So that's kind of also a benefit for brands here.
100%. I think to me, it's like, I'm also in the e-commerce space, we're an agency, and I think what you're selling makes so much sense. It's like, it's hard for me to understand why somebody wouldn't want to use, your service. It's a very, very valuable tool, I think, for any brand, especially, as you said, kind of the smaller or mid-sized brand that needs more of that brand awareness. I think it's not even just, getting more sales, but a lot of it is brand awareness. If people don't know that you exist, it's a big challenge for many of our clients as well. So I think if they can get in front of more people, and from there, one person buys it, then word of mouth, that's a very big way to grow.
Absolutely. And otherwise, especially if you're a newcomer and nobody has heard of you, you have no sales history with a retailer. So you say, here are my products. The chances of them, reaching the top of the, shop by category page or search results would be very small. Whereas with the sponsored products, they can get that spot under the sun, get those products, to shoppers, get clicks, get purchases. And then, like I said, it creates a spin flywheel where it starts generating more demand even on other products from your brand.
For sure. So obviously now in 2023 is the age of AI. So does AI play any role when it comes to your business?
Well, so we do use some models, but at this point they're, fairly common statistical models. So we've talked about using AI, for instance, to assess the quality of product description. When it comes to, let me clarify. So let's say that you're trying to promote a product and if you look at kind of success factors, what helps you sell online, you need to have, good product details, good description, good title, good photos for your product, so that on the product detail page, when, consumers see it, they have enough confidence and, it creates desire for them to buy it. On the other hand, like if your product description is, 2 lines and it's not really, it doesn't do justice to your product, the chance of sale would be lower. And so as a brand, you might say, like, look, I've got, these 4 products, I'm going to promote them. So you could potentially use AI to assess the quality of the product description. Does it have the right keywords? Does it have, enough length? Does it have this and that and whatnot? And then you can basically say, you can start making recommendations to brands using AI and going like, we've just done a scan of your catalog and we believe that, these 5 products are best suited for promotion based on like the quality of metadata and the quality of the image. That's another area that, on the other hand, these 10 products are nowhere near, the kind of the threshold that we would apply to, to promote something versus not promote. And so this also actually creates, additional value for brands, because as a retailer, you can now just, give them recommendations through AI on, kind of what the health of their catalog is in terms of like the metadata, photos, and they can go and take action again, take steps to increase their sales.
So what would you say is the biggest challenge that you're facing right now in the business?
So the biggest challenge is to land the first client, so we ran a pilot with a company. However, their scale was a little bit too small. So we were very happy to have an opportunity to run our tech with them, because it gave us proof that, everything works end to end. Our auction model works as expected, we can collect data, et cetera. But this is the biggest challenge, and they say that, the first $1 million is the hardest to make. After that, it becomes easier.
First so, 5 million, maybe.
Or first 5. So this is the biggest challenge right now. So we're talking to a number of customers, but, closing that deal is what we're kind of all focused on.
So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing your website or best way to get in contact with you?
Yeah, absolutely. So our website is fiteo.co. So fiteo.co. It's got a contact us form. If you are a retailer, a marketing agency that would like to partner up with us, we would be very excited to hear from you and happy to talk, happy to kind of go over how our technology works and how it can help you. We, for instance, we have some models that allow us to kind of look at the traffic of a retailer and, you know, do some rough estimates on what the, you know, revenue numbers might look like. And so, you know, we would be happy to have those conversations.
Awesome. Well, Sergey, I want to say thank you so much for your time. We're rooting for you. Hopefully you guys get lots of customers and have a great Q4 ahead.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Bye.